Well, I would appreciate your prayers tonight. I feel like the Lord's given me a challenge for you and for me. I believe that our walk with the Lord, or say our Christianity, our experience with the Lord, shouldn't be an afterthought. It shouldn't be an indifferent place in our life. The world knows, in their dealing with things, the world knows that that doesn't work. The world knows that an indifferent, half-hearted effort does not work. Jesus said in one place that something to the effect that the people of the world were in their generation, the children of darkness, were in their generation wiser than the children of light. Because the flesh has a certain dynamic to it that drives people to do certain things with gusto. They do it with fervor. They can do it with passion. They can want to win the race so badly and be number one and get their name there and be something and be somebody that they will go to efforts that the children of light don't understand. That's what Jesus was referring to. If we could only understand, we should give more attention. We should give more devotion and dedication. Our worship to the Lord can't be an afterthought. It should never be an afterthought. It should be the most monumental thing you've ever done. The most life-changing, the most influential thing in your life should be your relationship with the Lord. I say you, forgive me for putting it that way. That's ours. Mine too. That should be what it is. It should not be, I think I'll go to worship because I've really not got anything else to do today. It shouldn't be, well, I'm going to give the Lord some time here because I got a moment. It's got to be a forethought. It's got to be more important because, like I said, the world understands the businesses that have succeeded in this world did not have the attitude that we'll do it if we can. Well, if I get a moment, we'll advertise. Or if we get a moment, we'll get things in line and in place. People that have succeeded to doing things have given their passions to it. Yeah, they've given their heart to it, their mind to it. They've given their devotions to it that it would succeed. Now, I know where I'm at, so I'm using this terms. And I don't follow it, but I'm probably most everybody in here is probably have heard of the Ohio State Buckeyes, right? I mean, if you live in Ohio and you haven't heard that, you've probably not been paying attention. And you don't have to be a fan to. I went to the Walmart today, and do you know that there is a lot of Buckeye shirts and caps? I mean, I knew where I was at. Why? I mean, does that say anything? Yeah, it does say something. It says that they're probably going to sell that merchandise. Why? Because there's people that care. That's why. And do you think that the Ohio State Buckeyes are going to win a game with the attitude is nah, let's quit. Let's not worry about practicing this year. Let's not worry about getting signals straight. Let's not worry about the ifs and ands of the. Let's just show up on Saturdays at noon. That's not what they do. And there's a reason why that's not what they do. Because they know that doesn't work. They have to put thought. They have to. We're not saved because we do all these things. But what I'm going to suggest to us and challenge us with is, don't you think that there's something dynamic, beautiful, drawing, inspirational, life-giving in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Have you experienced that experience? What outshines Jesus Christ? What outshines the experience of having Christ in you? What is better than a visitation of the Lord? What is our expectation tonight of what the Lord done for me? Life teaches us, all around us, teaches us that you pretty much get out of something what you put into it. All my life, I can give you illustrations that happens every year in my life. I like to garden. And in my gardening, the end, it isn't just because I like to garden that I do it, but I have an anticipation of getting something from the garden. Right? I mean, I like gardening, but I don't like it enough to do it. I like it because it produces. I like it because it gets us something that's valuable and good. And I like gardening. And this year particularly, I had to face a lot of things in my garden. For some reason, seeds wouldn't come up. I planted it. I like it orderly. I like it to look good. I like that the thing is still fruit, but I've done it. I would plant the tomato plants and they would die. And I planted three or four times. I took out dead plants, put new ones in. I had to, it wasn't just doing it, letting it go. Weeds want to grow. Deer want to eat it. I mean, the bugs want to take over it. I had to deal with bugs and varmints and I had five groundhogs and two coons come in and eat my corn up. I mean, I fought it and done it. And I did it and kept doing it and doing it because I had an anticipation. This is going to yield me something. And you know, at the end of it all, we had more tomatoes than we can use. We had peppers. We still have big heads of cabbage that we didn't use. I dug up a whole bunch of potatoes. We had all of this stuff from the garden and it all come out of there. And the anticipation worked out and I got this stuff and I got it because I put into it. I had an uncle one time. I like to tell this story. Uncle Kenneth. Uncle Kenneth liked to garden, and my dad liked to garden, and so Uncle Kenneth would garden. And one day he comes down to my dad's, looks at my dad's garden, and he said to my dad, he said, "Well, it's no wonder your garden does so good. Your garden won't grow weeds. My garden's full of weeds." And my dad laughs, of course, and said, "Yeah, my hoe takes care of the weeds there." My uncle really, his corn would grow up and the weeds would be competing about the same height. And he didn't do a lot in the garden, but he thought, "Wait, your garden don't grow weeds." Yes, it grows weeds, but we have to put something into it. So my challenge tonight is dive in. Dive in, because I believe a lot of people that lose out with the Lord are people that didn't dive in. Because I see people that give themselves and dive in and give themselves to the Lord, not to a cause, not to man, but they give themselves to the Lord. They can go through some real things. But when they put in and give all to it, there is so much blessing in it. There's so much in, you know, we want to enjoy this. I'll be honest with you. I feel like the victories that we will have will be because this is enjoyable. We want to do this. I go where I want to and I do whatever I please is one of our songs. Well, what does that mean? It means that I'm joyfully doing this. I came here tonight. I wasn't pressured. I do it because I want to do it. I got my heart into it. When I put my heart into it, I get something out of it. So many times people are grumbling and complaining and looking at fault finding and doing. You know why? Because they're not dove in. You look over all that stuff. This is worth something. So I want to start out with a scripture in Ezekiel. The 47th chapter of Ezekiel says, "Afterward," in the first verse, He brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the other gate, by the way that he looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Now, I want to read all of this, but I want to get a picture of this idea. Of a beginning of a river, a stream, a beginning. You're at the heads of it now. You're at the top end of it, and it comes out and it starts out in the trickle, and he measures a 5 and 1,000, and now it's ankle deep. You know, if you've been out and it's hot and you're dry and or whatever it is, and I mean, ankle deep water can be somewhat a blessing. I mean, I can thank the Lord for ankle deep water. But you know, if it was all you ever done was ankle deep water, and the idea of it ultimately was to frolic in it, ultimately it was to get the whole experience. Ultimately it was to feel the plunge. It was to be saturated. It was to be to enjoy the free motion of being able to swim through it or dive into it, where you can't hit the bottom and do all those things. I grew up in the mountains up there, and so I grew up in the rivers. You know, a lot of people like pools. We didn't have a pool, like a swimming pool. I knew there was such a thing, but yeah, we didn't have them. We had rock cliffs where the water was at, and waterfalls that over. And to me, there was nothing more exhilarating to run off the end of one of these waterfalls and dive, you know, 10, 12 feet off of them, or 20 feet or whatever it was, into a nice cold water and feel the exhilaration and feel the experience of being able to experience this water. That is an experience. The Lord's using these analogies, and he did it all the way through the Bible for you and I that when we can't understand spiritual things, he put them in very simple terms that we can understand. We should be able to understand this idea that if all you get is ankle deep in this, you're not going to be satisfied. And it's going to be real easy for the devil and the world and all the other to draw you to something else, because all you've got is ankle deep water. And it gets really, really easy to be tantalized away, because, to be honest with you, this isn't really all that. I mean, I've heard of the rivers and I've heard of these. And that's all you ever experience or see is ankle deep. You know, after a while you're saying, the old timers said how wonderful this water was here, and how much fun it was, and how much enjoyment and what you got out of it. And you know what? It barely covers my feet. I don't know. I mean, it's all right to wade in, but every time I try to get down, I sit down in it, but roll over in it or do that. But it's pretty limited in this. Isn't there more? Something else? You know, that's the way the experience is. So there's another experience I want to share with you that the Lord gave us to understand. There's some real close types in the Bible, and one of them is the Exodus of the children of Israel. There is some real types in that of the New Testament church. And some real ideas in there. And the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And one of the things the Lord gave that probably everybody here can relate to is food. Is there anybody here that can't relate to food? Food is it's life-sustaining, nourishing. But if we get right down to it, it's right down fun. I mean, it is through history, and it is in the Bible days and everything like that. They banqueted. There was times that food was the center, because there is something valuable. We understand God gave us taste buds and all of this. And so there's an analogy within these analogies. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And the Lord brought them out of what was the world, sin. That's the type. Egypt was a type of sin. And the Lord delivered them out of that bondage. And they got out of the bondage, as we all well know. And they had where was they going? We'll do a little lesson here at this time. They was going to Canaan, right? Does anybody remember the descriptions of Canaan? One of the best descriptions of Canaan had to do with food. because it spoke to them. They're going to be there. This is what said how valuable the land is what it produces to what? To eat, to enjoy, to be comfortable in life. And all that had to do with the economics of food. And you remember what it was? The land that flowed with milk and honey. Pomegranates, I think. Grapes on, remember the grapes? And there was a description of Canaan that was food. And there was also a description of Egypt that was food. You remember? The children of Israel, they got to murmuring and said, all we got here is eating this old. There was a description in the wilderness. God was with them in the wilderness. So there was these three places. Egypt, there's wilderness, and there was Canaan. God did not want the children of Israel running around in wilderness. He wanted them in Canaan. And the children of Israel are in the wilderness comparing the wilderness food with Egypt. And they said there when they're in the wilderness, would that be we was back in Egypt. They had, here's the description, spices. They had leeks and garlics and melons. What they didn't have the same thing Canaan had, but they had these foods that was tantalizing and all this. And there's an analogy that works through this for us to understand. If you start comparing, folks, if you compare a wilderness experience, a half-hearted, indifferent attitude with the world will win. It's more tantalizing. It's more enjoyable. It's got more to offer. And they care about it. They was never supposed to compare Egypt with the wilderness. They were supposed to compare Canaan with the wilderness, where there was wholesomeness and richness and goodness and milk and honey and all of these things. But they never got to that experience. They was in a lesser experience. They were ankle deep. That's all they ever got to was ankle deep. They never got over in there to where there was the real rich experience of God. And when we start being tantalized by the world and the world's drawing and come over here and do this and watch this and sing these songs and do those things, it's a lot of times because we don't have the full experience of diving in. We're only ankle deep in this. And it doesn't work very well when you're only ankle deep. God never intended us to stay ankle deep. You can wade out, but you're supposed to measure another one. God's going to measure another length for you. And so this scripture says, he measured down as ankle did. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Another 1,000. Now we're in the knees. Well, I can tell you what. Knees better. That's better. I've had to baptize people sometimes. Boy, I'm going to tell you, knee-deep water is hard to get somebody, especially if they're a little larger, not a child. I'm saying, but you got to get them down knee-deep. You can do it. It's better than ankle-deep. You can at least get them down and back. There's some things you can do in ankle. I've got out and played in knee-deep water and those kind of things. I wouldn't want to run off the bank and dive in. But, I wouldn't want to jump very far in. There's a lot that you can't do in knee-deep water. But it's better than ankle-deep water. It has a little bit more that you can do for it. God isn't contented you to stop at the knees. It's an experience. But the Lord wants to take you another step down. So he measures another one. He says afterwards, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the loins. Now we're getting up there. That's better. I can dive into that if it's a shallow dive. I can do that. I can do that. But it still doesn't have it doesn't have the experience quite in it. And measure again. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that could not be passed over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Now, you got down to the full experience of what God wants us to have and to understand. I want to encourage you tonight to dive into the fullness. There is where the rewards will be at. There's where the blessings at. That's where it makes sense to do. If you want to be successful, really successful in living for the Lord, it's in the deep water. It's really the giving all. And this was proven over and over in the scriptures. Those that was willing to give themselves totally to the Lord was the ones that was successful in the Lord, that had the blessing on them. Yeah, they had persecution, they had all those things, but they also had the reality of Christ on them. It's why they could go through it. Nothing was quite like the being in the presence of God. So they dove in. So I want to look at a few scriptures of maybe of people that failed maybe to do that, and what happened. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, 16th verse says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? I know I've heard this different ways, but I believe in this reading that the man was sincere about what he was saying. And he asked the question, What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Dive in. Dive in. I'm offering it to you. One of the other gospels says, and Jesus loved him. And there's significance in that. Jesus loves everybody. But the significance of that is that I'm going to impart to you. That was the significance of saying, and Jesus loved him. It meant that he wasn't going to hold back the truth from him. And he gave him the truth. And the truth was, you're not going to make it this way. You've come to ask me, and I'm going to love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. You need to dive in. This isn't going to work for you otherwise. That which you love is going to interfere with you in serving me and following me. You can keep the commandments as an afterthought. You can do the religious things as an afterthought. You can go to service as an afterthought. You can be religious and wear the right clothes and do all of that. He's asking for more. He said, dive in. Come and give all and get into this. Get into it. Give yourself to it. And you will find treasure in heaven. You're looking for something because you lack something and you know it. And what you lack can't be God if you don't dive in. And this is the truth, folks. This is the truth. We miss it when we don't give ourselves for it. This is not an afterthought. This is to be the most important thing in our lives. This is to be the monument of our lives. This is what directs our lives. I read a story one time of a man. I believe his name was William Law. And there was a story in this book. And it was of a young man, in a century gone by. And the man was a businessman. And he was about 35 years old. And he was a very successful businessman. And he had got to about 35 years old, and he contracted some kind of a fatal disease, and he was laying on his bed dying. And his contemporaries came and was all around his bed looking down at him, and he looks up at them and he says, "I know what you're thinking, because if I was in your place, I'd be thinking, that's what I'd be thinking too. You're thinking, what a shame that this man has come to such an early death, place in his life, after such a success, and what a shame it is to lose such a person of business." And he said, "But I'll tell you, that's not what I'm thinking." He said, "Because you see, I went to church on Sundays. I paid my money. I performed the religious duties that was expected of me. I was even a good man. But I never served God with my full intention." He said, "I'd give half that I got and more to have 1 year of life left to serve God with a full intention, because I never really served him with a full intention." The man died after those words. "I never served God with a full intention." Yeah, he made the business deals. He done a good job on all those things. But he never got the blessings of God on his life because he didn't give it. This situation here is talking about this young man. He was a religious man. He had done what he had to do, all of these kind of things. He kept the commandments. He done all these things. And yet inside of him, he knew. He knew inside him something was lacking, and he needed something inside him. And what was inside him was, he knew that he had just went along. He knew it was something empty in there. And the Lord challenged him. "Go and sell all that you got, the hindrance of your life. Come and follow me. Get in. Give it all. Let me lead and guide you into life." But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What? Is there a curse? Are we doomed to have things? We don't have to be. Do you know God's got grace for the rich man? Many a people, God instills them with the things of life to bless other people with and to put it in the hands of God. He's just expecting us to give it to him. "Lord, you use this. You bless this." And not be ankle deep, knee deep. "Lord, help us to go on down the stream away. If I'm not in waters to swim in, at least I'm going that way. I'm going to it's getting deeper. I got more experience in this because I really believe in my own life." Do you know boredom is a danger? Do you know dissatisfaction is a danger? When you start not being satisfied and you're unhappy with things and life is bored, you're going to want something in your life. It's hard for me to say that Jesus Christ is dull. It's hard for me to say that living for the Lord is a dull, uninteresting experience. Because I don't believe it is. I believe it's where we don't get in to it. And like I said, the world knows. I know somebody, you know, we use this illustration in, somebody in here that runs marathons. You just don't say one day, "I think I'll run a marathon." Anybody in here just ain't never done any running, going to say, "I'm going to run a..." What is that, Logan? 26.2 miles, I think, is a marathon. 26.2 miles. You just tomorrow, I said, "I'm going to run this marathon." Yeah, you're likely to win. You're likely not even to finish. You're likely not even to get close. I wouldn't get close because I don't run them. But you know there's people that's 70 years old that do run them. There's people that's old that do run them. There's people that do it. But you know what they know? They know that they can't spend the last year porking out on ice cream and making themselves over. What? You don't pack all that weight. You've got to be serious about what you're doing if you're going to obtain. What is it? What is 1 Corinthians 9, I think it is, where Paul says, he learned a lesson. He said, when they that run a race, run all. What do? I beat myself up. I have to bring my body under subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. I understand the importance of being in, all the way in. Because, they do this to win a corruptible crown. They can win a crown. Ohio State might win the national championship. They might come to do that. If they've done that, they've done it because they put effort and energy and got in there and done it. It didn't just happen. Those that do it lightly, it doesn't work. And it won't work for us either. You want to be satisfied and happy, and you want to be full, and this means something? I'm going to encourage us to get to the water where it's deep. Get in there and pursue it. The kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's got to be fought for. And I have to get in there and give my all for it. You want to raise a garden? You're going to have to hoe the weeds out. Well, you can have a garden without hoeing the weeds out. You do certain things. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to work at that garden and you get nothing. You got to work at what there's got to put something into this to get something out. So there's another scripture. Now look at a scripture over in, John, I think it is. Sixth chapter of John, I think, is the scripture I want. So, 22nd verse says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereunto the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. That was the miracle of the loaves. When the people therefore saw Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Amen. That's not going to do you that much good. I understand that. Again, here's a food-related thing. It was very important. It's used a lot in the scriptures because we understand this. Do you understand why these people followed him for the food? They were hungry people. They had needs in their life. I don't think they was on the American diet here. These people saw a way. I deal with a lot of people in other countries. There's a lot of people hungry. They need food. It's an important thing. These people did that, but Jesus admonished them. I don't think he was really saying you shouldn't go after food, but what he was saying is you should have followed me for your soul first. You should have come for the needs of your soul. Jump in. God knows you have need of these things. He knows you need clothing and housing and food. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all of these things will be supplied to you. The Lord said you didn't do. You should have saw the miracle. It should have witnessed to you. Who is this? This is a simple, logical examination here. It should have been just a logical thing. Who can do miracles? Who was prophesied that they would do this? Jesus wanted them to know that he was the Son of God. And the miracles was there to perform that in their minds. This is the one that heals the blind, that heals the lame. This is the one that touches. It was prophesied that he would do it. And he said, you should have followed me with a deeper need than you had. Don't seek after the things of this world. They'll perish. They'll perish. Do you remember a couple sisters that was had Jesus over to the house one time? And Martha looks and says, so human. I love the scriptures. It just speaks so much of the humanity that we understand. Two sisters, and they love one another dearly. I guarantee it. But Martha got bent out of shape, because she got cumbered with the idea of serving everybody the food and all that. And Mary was more in mind that she... Well, I know in our logical minds, we'd say, yeah, Mary should have helped Martha. I mean, they both had the duties to that. And we a lot of times in our mind would expect the Lord to take that part. But when the Lord... I want to tell you something about what the Lord did. And I'll challenge you in the scriptures always with it. And I'll challenge all the ministers and gospel workers the same way. If somebody comes to you talking about somebody else, don't jump in there with them about somebody else. Talk to them about themselves. Because that's what the Lord always did. Now, I forget that other person and what needs you have in your soul. Why do you respond like that? This is because they're not here. We want to deal with you. This is what Jesus did. When the guy come and said, tell my brother, he didn't say, okay, I'll talk to your brother. He said, oh, you beware of covetousness. He dealt with that brother. He dealt with Martha. Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with much. Mary chose the good. I'm going to tell you, it's better off doing that. She's jumping in. She's jumping in. The rest of this will work out in your lifetime. She's jumping in. She wants to know what she needs for her soul. She wants to know how to make heaven. She's jumping in fully. She's going to give it all there. Martha, I'm going to encourage you. You better jump in. Because if you don't jump in and you just labor yourself here, you're going to be one miserable woman, always nagging and never being contented with life. And always, no, you're going to need to get a grace, Martha. And you'll get that at Jesus' feet. That's where you're going to need to dive into this and get it. And we stop worrying about all the commotion about around us and all those things and get into the Lord. And you know, when we do really have the Lord as the focus in our life, it'll bring the whole life into focus. And now somebody will do something to you. Instead of you wanting to take their head off, you're going to be able to say, God bless them, and mean it. And mean it, because you understand, you dove in. You understand where they're at. Lord, help them to get where they need to be too. Help me to be the example and witness for that. There's been people that almost got there and they didn't get there. They was close to it, but they didn't make it quite there. I want to look at a couple of them in Acts. Before I go to Acts, I'm just going to touch on John. Later in the same chapter of John 6, Jesus says to the people, or says to his disciples, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they were offended at this saying, and they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? You can read it there in later in the chapter in John 6. And Jesus goes on and said, many of his disciples walk no more with him. Why? Why? These were disciples. That meant they were followers. They were there. But this thing got them. They walked no more. They were close, but they walked no more with the Lord. That's troubling. Why didn't they? Because it's only ankle deep. I'll tell you right now, they wasn't in the water all the way. There was ankle. It was ankle deep. It's easy to leave the water at ankle deep. You're not committed to anything. You know, there's an old saying that I'm going to burn the bridges behind me. You know what that means? I'm going to so utterly change it, there's nothing else for me to go back to. I don't have anything to go back to. I burned it. I got rid of it. It's not there anymore. I intend to go on with this. But many of his disciples walk no more with him. So he turns to his 12 and he says, will you go away also? Their response, if in the spirit of my message, Lord, we're too deep. We're too deep to come out now. We've given everything. We give everything to this. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to find them? I can't go anywhere else. I may fail. I may have my failures in life. I might have my flops in life. I may not have the grace that I might need. But that don't mean I'm going to get out of this. No, I intend to go on. I'm going to go all the way in this. I'm going to get as deep in it as I can. My humanity may show out when I'm weak or whatever it is, but I want to go on with the Lord. Amen. And see the blessings of the Lord in it. I want to tell you this. I made this comment. Oh, if the Lord takes me tonight, I want this congregation to know one thing. God's been good to me. I mean, really good to me. I haven't deserved it. I've had a wonderful life. The Lord's blessed me. He's given me so much. And if he takes me out, I'm going to tell you he's right. He's always right. And he's done a good job. And it's been rich. I am privileged to have served the Lord. I am privileged to have had missed all of the consequences of a life out into the world. I've seen those that I was around. I've seen family members, aunts and uncles. I've seen those that went the ways of their self. And I've seen the devastation and destruction in their wake. I've seen my friends my age go down the course. And I've seen where they've ended up. And I say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me the great privilege of diving in and experiencing the blessings of God. To know that God hears and answers prayer. To know that God works in our lives the way he works in our lives. And to do the things that the Lord does. Those little miracles that he gives us. Those little inspirations that he gives us. The things that, see, from my point of view, and I'll give you my testimony. I am very incapable of doing what I'm doing right now. And I know it. And I've never been able to stand up and speak to people. But the Lord chose me to do this. And there is times that I've got up with nothing to say. And have said stuff anyway. By the Lord's help. And the Lord has blessed in a way that he has made me always to remember and know I can't do this without him. But in him, in Christ, I can do all things. He is a miracle working God. And he's able to do it. And we have those experiences if we'll plunge in. But if you're never in the place, some of you here knew Brother Gordon Humphrey. He was a dear brother to me. I don't know of anyone that I would have rather had pray for me than Brother Gordon. He loved the Lord. He was a simple man. And he had faith in God. And I remember he telling me a story one time years back. Him and his wife was traveling. They were going home. And he said that he was running out of gas. And he ran out of money. He didn't have gas or money. And his car was getting lower and lower on gas. A needle was dropping. And they knew that the car couldn't get home. He didn't have enough gas to get home. So they started praying. They needed to get home. But the needle kept dropping. And they got to a certain point that he said they didn't really want to run the car all the way out of gas. So he ended up telling his wife they didn't know what to do. And he said, I'm going to pull over here at this next wide spot and I'm going to go out and I'm going to seek the Lord. Said he got out and he went over there and he said he had a wide spot and he saw where a tree had fallen. It was a log there. And he said he went out going to go over to pray at that log. And he went over there and he said there was a $20 bill laying right there by that log. He said, Brother Marty, I don't know how it got there. I don't know if somebody dropped it or if it blew out the window. Or maybe God just made it appear. He said, I don't know where it come from. But there was $20 there. And then he says with a real serious look, he said, I don't know what everybody thinks about that. But he said, I think that was the Lord. And I said, Brother Gordon, I believe you. I think it was the Lord too. The Lord is a miracle working God. And he saw that experience. Because he was put himself in the place to see that miracle. He put himself in the place of faith. He put himself in the trust of God. He put himself in the position that God could do something for him. And he did. And he had many experiences as many others have in that. We find this place in God when we dive in. And let the Lord put us in those places and build up our most holy faith, and God becomes real to us. And I'm going to tell you something. As this world gets wickeder and wickeder, and as we get closer to that inevitable time that says it would be as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming. And in the days of Noah, it was the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And people didn't have good thoughts towards one another, and it was evil continually. And as we push further and further and further to that, with all the pressures of the world and all the things that's going on in our world, we need a real experience that can't be shaken. Because it'll shake. And those that'll shake loose will shake. And those that can't be shook will remain. And they'll stay there. And we need the experience to be able to say, it doesn't matter what science says. It doesn't matter what the modern world says. Christ is alive in my heart. The experience that I have is too rich and too real for me to deny. I cannot deny my Lord in this. So over in Acts, we'll try to hurry along. Over in Acts, the 26th chapter, I'll start with the 26th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul, if you was interested in that, it's quite a reading. Paul comes before King Agrippa, and he gives him his testimony. And his testimony was, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he says in Philippians. Circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was in the order. And going his way, supposing that what he was doing was the will of God, and God arrested him on the road to Damascus. And Jesus met him there and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he had an experience of a great light that blinded, and he heard the voice, and he also met the Lord. Do you think, I mean, it's recorded a couple of times, but how many times do you suppose he started off a sermon that way? This was his testimony of about what happened with him. And why he so diligently jumped all the way in. Why he gave his life for this. Because he met the Lord. And it was serious with him. And he's telling King Agrippa, this is this. This was persuasive. I think it was Festus that said, "Oh, Paul, you're beside yourself. You're mad with learning. You've got learned too much. You're crazy." "Oh, I'm not crazy. I'm going to tell you the experience." And King Agrippa, he listens and he tells him the story. You can read that back. And then it comes down. King Agrippa, he says, I will start with 26, sorry. "For the king knoweth these things, before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I'm going to tell you, I believe that the Holy Ghost was on Paul. And I believe that his words was registering so strong and so hard to King Agrippa. God was loving King Agrippa. And he gave him the truth. There is nothing in the scriptures that ever said that King Agrippa ever come to this place. But his message was so powerful, so strong. "King Agrippa, I know you believe this. I know this is registering with you because I know what you believe." "Oh, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But I got to ask you this question. Does almost get it? There was a woman in the scriptures that said within herself, "If I but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole." The woman had an issue of blood for 12 years and had spent all of her living on the physicians and grew worse. And she said within herself, "If I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." But there was a great throng, a crowd around Jesus. And she was weak in the conditions. She forced and she pressed her way through the crowd. Do you believe that if she would got within a foot and gave up, would she have been healed? The obvious given response to that is no. She said within herself, if I could touch the hem of your garment. And when she touched the hem, not 6 inches, not a foot, not what 3 inches, not almost. When she touched it, faith went in. Virtue come out. It met faith. Lord, help us to dive in. To give in. God is real, folks. I want to tell you, God is real. In the most serious times of our life, we have the great privilege and opportunity to take our cause, as that woman did, and press our way to the throne. Hebrews 4, what is it, 15, 16, to come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. That's not because boldness is not pride. It isn't the opposite. Pride is the opposite of humility, not boldness. You can humbly, boldly come. Because you're not coming because of yourself. I can come boldly because Christ died for me and gave me access that I can bring myself to God. And I can boldly, I can square my shoulders because Jesus died for me. I can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in time. I can get what is there. We got to dive in for it. We got to press for it. We got to seek for it. 6 inches don't quite get it. Ankle deep isn't the experience. Knee deep isn't the experience. It is a experience, but it isn't the experience. The experience is on down the river. The experience is in the deeper water. It's being able to get there. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be smart. You have to be given to the Lord. The Lord isn't expecting great things. He's expecting you. God can do great things with who He calls. He don't need us to have anything other than give ourselves to Him. I mentioned last night about Brother Sammons a little bit. I believe Brother Sammons had something special about him. He was an old Kentucky hillbilly that never went very far in school. That grammar was terrible. Mine's almost as bad sometimes, but his was bad. And he had all this, but he had something dynamic. And the where he got it from was his surrender to the Lord. He used to hate the fact that he wasn't educated, because he felt like education would have made him have more ability to do God's work. I encouraged him that the greater God knows what He's doing. The greater glory to God went from pulling an old country guy out of there and making something out of him. Educated, college graduated people would call Brother Sammons for advice, and he didn't even go to the 9th grade. Why? Because he had been with the Lord. You remember the scripture where they looked and said that they had recognized that these men had been with the Lord. That's where they got their authority and power, and that's where they had been with the Lord. One other scripture I want to look at. King Agrippa, almost don't work. You're going to have to jump in. So when Paul was talking in the 24th chapter in his ministry, he has a little thing. I'll read a little bit of this. 22nd verse says, "And with Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will come the uttermost of your matter. I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come to him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. I wonder what he thought he was getting into there. But he was there. It says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I understand the idea of convenient season because we get busy. But folks, our Christianity, our walk with the Lord can't be an afterthought. It is not to be at a convenient time. Everything else can be at a convenient time. This has to be the priority of our life. This is where the blessings lie. This is where the faithfulness comes. When this is the priority of my life. I can do a lot of things within that priority. But if I work, I work for the Lord. If I've got to go do something, it's by the Lord's blessing. Everything that we do it with the Lord. I give the Lord the first part. That is the standard of worship all the way back to Adam. Is you give your all. And when you're going to make a sacrifice, you don't get the runny little things and that ain't a sacrifice. You get the best you got. And you give that to the Lord. This is not an afterthought. This is the blessing, and this is the God that makes the corn grow. This is the God that gives health. This is the God that can keep our health and can heal our bodies. This is the God that can heal our families. This is the God that can touch us and help us with the things in the life. This is the one we should serve and worship. It isn't an afterthought. Oh, he said, he's trembled. He's trembling. I'm going to tell you, trembling's a good time to call on God. The trembling will stop one of these days. Then you have nothing. Oh, I want to encourage us tonight. If you're going to be successful in serving the Lord and you're going to come down to the end of this thing and meet God in peace, just jump in. It doesn't mean, hey, don't get all excited. It doesn't mean God's going to call you to preach. And if God calls you to preach, you'll be more than able to do it. But I will say this, God will have just exactly what you need to bless your life with. You will be in the best place that you could ever be in. If we dive in, and I like to think in the vision of my mind, I would like to think of the whole church of God in the river that can't be crossed over. We're there where it's flowing deep and strong, and the Lord blesses us with the presence of God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.